The rulers of this age are passing away. What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, and what has not even entered into the heart of man, that is what God has prepared for those who love him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to continue briefly with our work in the sacraments. Because what our Lord talks about here is he's talking about the other life. That God has prepared for us something which is amazing, something which is beyond our imagination. And so if we're going to achieve that, we need the sacraments. And what's the last sacrament that each one of us hopes to receive? That's exactly holy anointing. Carrie spoke well. And that's what we're going to talk about today, la Santa Unción. And what is so amazing about this sacrament is I want to cover it in just four brief points, really three, because we cover the same first one every single week. So it should be old news. But I want to talk about what the sacraments are in general. And then secondly, go into, there's lots of confusion around the sacrament anointing the sick. Who should receive it? When should it be asked for? All those questions that occur to us. But then we need to know, is this a real sacrament? Where does it come from? How do we know that this is a sacrament that is for us? And then finally, why in the world should anointing the sick matter to me? Why should I even care? We're going to cover all those four points. But first, who can tell me what a sacrament is? We say it the same every week. No, that wasn't a hand. That wasn't a hand. A sacrament is an outward sign of an inward transformation or change instituted by who? Jesus Christ. That gives us what? Grace. Grace. That's what a sacrament is. A sacrament does these things. And what's grace? It's the very life of God given into us, placed in our souls so that we can be saints, so that we can be holy, so that we can obey everything that Jesus talks about here in this Holy Gospel that Deacon Edward read for us. He gives us his grace. But what is a sign? It's not an ordinary sign. It's a full sign. A sign that actually does what it signifies. Like holy baptism, we're getting ready to baptize sweet little Sailor Grace, who was just born last week. Can't wait for that at the end of this month. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait to do it. Because what's going to happen is we're going to throw water all over her face, all over her body, but it's really going to wash her soul clean of even original sin so that she can go directly to heaven. It's also, she's going to symbolically drown in that water so that the old person can die, but the new life may rise as a daughter of God forever. That's what it does. It signifies that, and it actually does it because sacraments do what they signify. Also, we know about the sacraments is that they're not magic, right? They're not magic. You have to be open to receive the sacrament. Otherwise, you block the grace and nothing's going to change in your life. Just like I so many times in my life have come to receive Holy Communion, but I didn't care. I didn't even believe it was real, and I was living in a state of sin. So in fact, it was me abusing the sacraments and not receiving the grace that God wanted to put in my life so that I could actually change, so I could be holy, so I could be who he wanted me to be. Sacraments aren't magic. We have to allow them to occur in our lives. That's all review. We know that. But what about this sacrament? The sacrament of anointing the sick. What's so special about it? What does it do in our lives? What does God want to do with us in this sacrament? Oh, we should go over what it is and what it's not, right? Let me tell you first about one of the first times I went to go give the sacrament anointing of the sick when I was a young priest. My first year of priesthood, my first week of priesthood. I go into this house, the Sandoval house. Everybody sort of leads me through. As I'm going through the hole, the family is gathered there. They're meeting me in the hallway and conducting me further and further. Each man takes off his hat. The women begin to kiss my hands a little bit as I pass by. They shake my hands. Father, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. And as I walk into that inner sanctum where Mr. Sandoval was laying stretched out on his bed with his wife holding his hands, the moment that he sees me, his face turns white. His wife begins to tremble and cry out to me in Spanish, Father, don't take my husband. He's not ready to die. He's my precious one. Don't take him from me. I was terrified at what this woman was saying because she thought that I was here to kill her husband. The sacrament of the sick, the anointing of the sick, isn't about that at all. The priest is not the grim reaper. It's not the moment of loss of hope where you just throw it out there and say, okay, all hope is lost. God, just take him. Father, take him. That's not what the sacrament is about. The sacrament is about giving hope into that situation, bringing God into that presence, letting his force possibly heal that person's body. But surely he's going to heal his soul, give him the hope of eternal life. That's what the sacrament is really about. So we don't put off receiving it to the last moment. We can't do that. Because you know what? If we do, if we put it off to the last moment, what if Father can't get there? What if he's far away? What if he can't be found? And if you are responsible for making sure that that person is cared for and you wait too long, that's a mortal sin on your soul for not letting God touch this soul in that moment. We got to know and we got to call for that early. So who needs the sacrament? What kind of person do we give the sacrament to? Do you know? It says that we should give the sacrament to those who are in danger of death. When that moment occurs, it's already been time for them to have received that sacrament long before that, when it even approaches. So if they have an injury, a serious injury, if they have a serious illness, that's the time to do it. If they have achieved old or mature age, you do it because you never know what's going to happen when the frailty of the body is there. And actually, even before a serious surgery is to occur, especially if any surgery involves general anesthesia, because there's always a chance that the person isn't going to wake up. And so we give them that grace to strengthen them, to give them the grace of God even in those moments. There was a man who just had a finger operation just a couple weeks ago. Did I anoint him? No, I didn't. It's not a serious injury. He wasn't even put out. He was just repairing something in his finger. So we just prayed together. But there were about 6 or 7 times where I was called this week to give this sacrament to people who were in dire need of God's grace, who are in serious injury in various parts of the spectrum. The only exclusion to this is that we don't give the sacrament to little children. We don't give it to little kids. Why? Like if little Carina over there, if she was sick, I wouldn't give her the sacrament. Because how old are you, Carina? 4, right? You're 4 years old, so you've not achieved the state of reason. So they don't need the forgiveness of sins. She were to pass straight to heaven. She doesn't need it. Because it brings the forgiveness of sins as well. But if my dear Suzette needed it, I would anoint her in an instant because I know she's already sent. Huh? You're smiling at me right now. That's great. But that's why we give that sacrament, because it has those sorts of effects in there. When should we request anointing? Do you know? Should a crest, if you even have the thought that passes into your mind, it's already time to ask. If Father will tell you if it's not a right time. Mr. Stevie called me up this week. He said, Father, what do I ask for? What do I do? Somebody's dying. Do I need anointing of the sick? Do I need last rites? What am I supposed to do? Well, so I gave him that. I'm going to tell you exactly to fulfill his question so that everybody who has the questions, just like Mr. Steve, can have them answered today. So what happens? What happens if you can? You want to receive the sacrament not just once at the end of your life, but many times. You could receive it 1,000,000 times in your life. Because if the body starts to get worse, you receive it again and again and again. If it's been 6 months since you've received it and the illness persists, you receive it again. You receive this multiple times in your life so that you can receive the healing of God's grace while you're still here. Because Father can't give it to you after you've died. The sacraments are for the living, they're not for the dead. We pray for the dead. We don't give sacraments to them. So that's why we have to do it. The last rites, do you know what they consist in? 4 things. 4 things. Confession. Then you get the anointing of the sick. Then you get viaticum, which is the last time you receive Holy Eucharist. And then you get the apostolic pardon. Does anybody know what that is, the apostolic pardon? I know Deacon does. The apostolic pardon. You know, this is a great grace, a grace that is actually a papal blessing, a blessing from the Holy Father that the priest is able to give, that gives the soul which is open to receiving this grace, that makes the act of faith desiring to receive pardon for their sins, but also it gives them the forgiveness of even the effects of sin, a full indulgence, meaning that if they were to pass from life at that moment, if they were open to the grace that God is trying to give them there, no purgatory. They go straight to heaven. If they're not open to it fully, well, then it helps them a little bit. But they're given that grace. It used to be that only certain priests could give this. But now every priest at the moment of death can grant this apostolic pardon to help the soul on its path to God. What a great grace. You don't want to miss out on that or that opportunity. What's necessary for last rites? One, they got to have penance for their sins, so they got to want it. The second thing, you want them to be conscious if possible, so that they can actually orally or at least mentally confess their sins if they can't speak. And the ability to swallow, because if they can swallow, that means I can give them the Eucharist. If they can't, then I can't give them the Eucharist. So those are the three things that are necessary. If you're wondering whether they, all you got to do is tell the priest they can't swallow, and then he won't bring the Eucharist. Or you say, yeah, they can receive the Eucharist, bring it. And that's all you need to know about that. So how about why? How do we know that this is a real sacrament? Do you know where we find it? Well, what's the definition of a sacrament, real quick? It's an outward sign of an inward transformation instituted by Jesus Christ. That's how. All the sacraments are instituted by Jesus Christ, and this one explicitly in Scripture tells us what to do. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Look it up. I'm going to read it for you right now. It says here, is there anybody who's sick among you? Let them call for the priest of the church. And the priest will come and they shall lay their hands on him and pray for him. And they will anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith will save them, will save the sick person. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. That's pretty amazing. That's exactly what happened. What happens if you've ever been there? It does this. The priest goes there and he lays hands on that person. He prays for them both orally and silently with his heart, with fervent prayer and faith over them, and putting God's Spirit. And then he anoints them with holy oil upon the forehead and upon the hands and anywhere else where they may be injured. Anointing them there, and that's the sacrament. What effects does it have? Exactly what it says in the Scripture. It does all those things. There's three effects. The first effect, remember, it said their sins will be forgiven, all their venial sins. And if they're unable to confess and they desire forgiveness for them too, the mortal sins as well. It also gives them that grace of raising them up. And what does that mean? What it means is that they give a special grace of strength to bear sufferings well, to bear those temptations well, especially in that last agony. Because what's going on when somebody's dying? They're afraid. They're afraid of death. They need to know that there's hope, that God has not abandoned them. So many souls feel that God has abandoned them in their suffering. This anointing gives them the grace to strengthen hope so that they can know that God hasn't left me in the slightest. That's why we need it. But also it has that third effect, which is a bodily healing. A bodily healing. The first two graces always happen. You're always going to get your sins forgiven. You're always going to be given the grace to have deeper hope in God, not to be alone. But not always are you going to be healed. Because sometimes it's better for us to endure suffering so that our souls can be purified. Did God even save his own son from suffering? Heck no, that's our salvation. That's what that is. And so when we unite our sufferings to God, to Jesus Christ and his cross, they can have effects in our lives to purify us and those whom we love too as we offer it for them. So sometimes it's better for us to endure that suffering. But other times, God wants to show a miracle to show that his power is still active in the world. Sometimes it's by a healing which occurs slowly to give them strength to keep going, to be buoyed for a week, a day, a month, 6 months. That's what I've seen before in my life. And sometimes the injury is completely healed miraculously. Let me tell you a story about when I in my first 2 months of priesthood. You know, I went to a woman who was suffering with brain cancer, stage 3. She was getting ready to go into the doctor and she knew they were going to tell her stage 4, it's time to die. Give up. So she came in and said, Father, please anoint me. It's over. So I prayed with her. I went with her, gave her that, and she went in the very next day to get the tests. Within a week, she went in to go get the results with the doctor, and the doctor went into the room to tell her the results, so you know it's bad. So as he comes in, she's afraid. She says, lay it on me. He comes in confusion. He says, woman, I don't know what happened here. Here's your charts, and I can't find any cancer anywhere in your body. Nowhere. You were not responding to the treatment in any way. There's no way that this could have happened. This is beyond science. I don't know what to tell you, lady, but you got no cancer. I don't get it. Well, you know what? I get it. The sacrament happened. God worked through his sacrament, instantly healing her from that moment, driving all the cancer away. God works through his sacrament. He gives us grace. Healing is possible in the sacrament, and God sometimes lets us see it. So why should this anointing mean anything to you? Why should you even care that we have this sacrament? I'll give you four reasons. Four reasons. One, because we all want to end well. We want to be with God. So we want it. We want it for ourselves. We also know, too, that death is coming for each and every one of us. Not a single one of us is going to get out of this life without dying. Suzette, you better not die before I do, because I don't want to bury you. But each one of us, even you, will die. So we got to be prepared for it. Thirdly, we know that our family members are going to die, and we want to make sure that they get the sacrament too. We want to make sure that they have everything necessary to make it well to the next life. And fourthly, one thing we know about death is that often it brings people back to God. And so in this moment, even though they lived their whole lives apart from God, I've seen it. A person turns their heart in that last moment, makes a good, worthy confession, and I know that that soul is on its way to heaven. The sacraments are important. And so how do I make sure that I myself am able to receive the sacrament? This is it. There's two things. One, to educate your family and friends. Say that you want it. Make sure especially that your kids know that you need to call father first, call the doctor second. Because I want to make sure my soul is ready to meet God more than my body lives for a couple minutes longer. It's more important eternity than a few minutes now. The second thing is pray. Pray. And especially pray to St. Joseph. Because you know what? St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he's the patron of a happy death. And everybody who has devotion to him always receives their last sacraments. It's a beautiful grace. You may know Leandro Beda back in Vaughan, a very important man over there. A few months ago, he died. And you know what? He was off in a hospital all by himself. They were calling. A priest wouldn't come. No priest would come. He was getting ready to die. And it just so happened that another priest happened to be in the hospital because he himself got sick. And so what he did was he came over, gave Leandro his last rites. Leandro died receiving the sacraments because he had profound devotion to St. Joseph. It can work the same for you. And so what I did is I've got a little sheet of paper right there. You're going to have it in the back of the church. I'm going to pray this prayer now, so join me in praying this. If you have devotion to St. Joseph, you will receive your last sacraments. Let us pray. Oh, my Lord and Savior, support me in that hour with the strong arms of your sacraments and by the fresh fragrance of your consolations. Let the absolving words be said over me and the holy oil sign and seal me, and your own body be my food and your blood my sprinkling. Let my sweet Mother Mary breathe on me and my angel whisper peace to me, and my glorious saints smile upon me, that in them all and through them all I may receive the gift of perseverance and die as I desire to live in your faith, in your church, in your service, and in your love. O blessed Joseph, who breathed your last in the arms of Jesus and Mary, obtain for me this grace, that I may breathe forth my soul in praise, saying in the Spirit, if I am able to do so in words, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.